This brings us to our second reading, which comes from John's Gospel. Pretty central to John's Gospel. We're in the 14th chapter here. There's still a lot of action to take place. This passage, though, is one that we often pull sound bites from. We often hear one or two verses from this text pulled, frankly, out of context. And so to hear this whole narrative, the first 14 verses of chapter 14, puts things in a little bit of a different perspective. Hear the gospel of the Lord. Jesus is speaking, "Don't be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. My Father's house has room to spare. If that weren't the case, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When I go to prepare a place for you, I will return, and I will take you to be with me, so that where I am, there you will be too. You know the way to the place that I'm going." Thomas then asked, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you have really known me, you will also know the Father. From now on, you know the Father and have seen the Father." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and then that will be enough for us." Jesus replied, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been with you all this time, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I have spoken to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me does his works. Trust me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on account of the works themselves. I assure you that whoever believes in me will do the works that I do. They will do even greater works than these because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask for in my name so that the Father can be glorified in the Son. When you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it." Friends, again, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay. So we have two texts here that I think we're all probably decently familiar with, right? So we see Moses have a conversation with, at first the text says with God's messenger, but then it says that God speaks directly to Moses from this burning bush. And the bush is on fire, but not going anywhere. It is burning but not consumed, some translations say. And we hear God call Moses to do something absolutely nuts, to go into Pharaoh's court. Yes, Moses had a previous relationship with Pharaoh and Pharaoh's family, and so it's not completely out of left field to think that Moses would do this. But Moses' exit from the palace wasn't exactly, shall we say, amenable. So the idea that Moses is going to waltz back into the throne room and go, "Yo, Ramses," probably not a thing. You know, and so here Moses is given this charge to go to Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go so that we can get these people out of bondage." And Moses rightfully says, "Look, no, this is nuts. I'm not the right person to do this. You must have meant to go to some other bush because this is not the right one." And God continually says, "I will be with you. You got this." And so then, valid point, Moses says, "All right, when I say to them that this voice, this entity, this God has sent me, they're going to ask me for a name." And that's very true. coming out of the Egyptian polytheistic tradition, the gods had different names. The gods had different assignments and different names. And so the idea of naming God was really, really important. And so Moses is saying, they're going to ask me for a name. And God's response is, I am who I am. So tell them that I am has sent you. And that's a really, really big statement to make, because especially in the Hebrew, the English is a little less nuanced than the Hebrew. The Hebrew there is basically saying the very essence of being has sent you. The core of what it means to be is sending you the source, the life code that we have is sending you into this situation. So that is a very huge statement for God to make, and it's an even more huge statement for Moses to hear. But the key thing in moving into this sermon series is that we hear God declare, I am the essence of being. I am what it means to be, period. And so then we start to hear Jesus echo that statement. Jesus being the one who comes from God, from the Father, from the Creator, the Parent, whatever name you want to give to the first person of the Trinity, Jesus is declaring in this moment, in these moments, I am one with this one. And we're on the same journey. So let's move into the John passage. And I know we all have masks on today, but I'm going to ask you to talk to me a little bit, because these are texts that we know pretty well. When you look at this John passage, when you look at the first 14 verses of John, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? Everybody looking over the notes. you're saying that you were drawn into the I am the way, the truth, and the life moment, right? Right? Is that the case for a lot of us there? Right. Good point. Because this is one of those spots where, again, it's kind of like the section of the communion liturgy, and we repeat this in other spots too. When we say Christ has died, is risen, will come again, it's the past, present, and future sort of idea. This has always been there, is there, and will always be there. Absolutely. Anybody else? Denise, you look like you're percolating over there.
I've always been drawn into the first part of preparing the house for Father.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that to me is one of the interesting points. Look, when we look at this passage, both I am the way, the truth, and the life, and my Father's house has many mansions or many rooms, depending on which translation you're reading. Those are verses that we tend to know and that we tend to pull out. I think we forget that they're part of the same conversation. And And even though I know that and have reminded myself of that several times, I tend to forget that until I look at it again and go, oh, that's right. They're both of these really, really loaded moments are in this text. And they're part of a conversation. Look at these first two paragraphs again. Don't be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. My father's house has room to spare. If that weren't the case, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When I go to prepare a place for you, I will return and take you to be with me so that where I am, you will be too. You know the way to the place that I'm going. Thomas asks, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you have really known me, you will also know the Father. From now on, you know the Father and have seen the Father. Okay, so let's break that down. Jesus here is telling them to chill. And there's a lot going on in this section of John. Jesus has been saying, I am going to be arrested. I am going to be killed. You know, those conversations have started to happen. And the disciples are starting to get rightfully anxious about that. Plus the fact that, you know, they're doing things, again, that the authorities of the time are not huge fans of. And so they're starting to get a little anxious that they too will be arrested and maybe killed. And so there's a lot of anxiety happening here. And so Jesus says, okay, don't be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. My Father's house has room to spare. So he's giving them some hope. And then he says, you know the way to the place that I'm going. And I find it so fascinating, and Wade brought this up a few weeks ago when we were looking at Thomas again, but we didn't get to go into this text a lot, so it's good to unpack this again. Thomas is the one who asks, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Valid question, because they don't know exactly what Jesus is saying here. They don't know if Jesus is talking about a physical destination. Are they supposed to go to the second star to the right and straight on till morning? They don't know. You know, this is what they're looking for. But when I read this text again last night, and I read this text probably 20 times yesterday because the Spirit decided to mess with me with this sermon, so she didn't give me much until this morning, and so I was wrestling with this text going, I know there's more here. And one of the things that did come to me last night is I bet the looks on Jesus's face were priceless in this text. Because two times he gets to respond to Thomas and say, okay, you do know the way because I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he gets to respond to Philip and say, don't you know me, even after I've been with you all this time? So I bet the looks on Jesus's face here were priceless because he's going, y'all, we've had this discussion. But yet again, Jesus doesn't go into full chastisement mode or anything. He breaks it down yet again. And one of the things that struck me about this text is that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me, is one of those verses that is often used to exclude and is often used as a weapon. This is a verse that, taken out of context, says if you don't do things the way that I do, then you are not worthy, you are not good enough, and you have no way of getting to the source code of the universe that we hear talked about in the Exodus passage. And if that's what we're going to say we hang our hat on, what does that say about who God is? But rather here, Jesus goes on. Jesus doesn't say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me, period. Jesus goes on to elaborate there as to what that means. If Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, what is the way? What are the things that Jesus had been doing with the disciples for the previous 3 years? If Jesus is saying, look, you guys know the way. You've been with me, watching me do this. You've been doing this with me. You know what the way to the divine is. So let's talk about that. What is the way? When we ask the question, what is the way? What comes to your mind? What are the things that Jesus does? Look at you. Love, healing, and compassion. Great. Very good. Gene won several cookies today. What'd you say, Andrea? Loving everyone, including everyone. Yeah. Very good. Trust and support, absolutely, even when you don't know it's there, 100%. Yes.
What this shows to me is how many of our managers are making.
Yes. Absolutely. We ascribe things to this text that are not there. Right. And that is something that we have a tendency to do with scripture. None of us are exempt from that. But when you look at things in context, there again, pulling single verses out from the scripture is, I'm going to even go out on a limb and say, always a dangerous thing. Because no matter how beautiful the one verse is, if you don't have the context, it's not as beautiful as it should be. Because we know that God always has something deeper to say. You know, there's always something bigger. There's always a deeper call. And so if we are called to this way, this truth, and this life, what does that mean? It does mean that we are called to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to show deference to the poor, and to do that work for justice that Jesus calls us over and over and over again to do. And this is also a text that is so often used to say that people of other faiths have no idea what it means to know the presence and connection of God, because the only way to get to God is through Jesus. And I think here, Jesus is absolutely throwing that door open wide. Because every single faith tradition teaches this story, teaches the idea that love and charity and compassion are the things that are at the core of who God is, which harkens back to what God says to Moses in Exodus. I am. I'm not really going to give myself a name because I'm bigger than any other name you could give me. So let's just say that I am the essence of being. That is who I am. Thank you and have a nice day. Pull around to the second window. That is such a big thing. So know that when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that is something that for us is very true. Gayla was talking about the work of the nominating committee coming up, and you, when you read the descriptions of both offices, of deacon and of ruling elder, we hear about the call of both of those offices and what that means. I was actually part of the discussion at the General Assembly level, and then also at the Presbytery level when we were ratifying this, of changing in the description of the office of deacon, of changing the word sympathy to the word compassion. It was a one-word change in that description. And the number of times people got up and said, it's one word. Why are we haggling over one word? Because it's an important word. You know, and we as Presbyterians are known to be people of the book, people of the word. We understand that words are important and words have power. And so to say that the deacons have a ministry of compassion is much deeper than a ministry of sympathy. Because a ministry of sympathy, you can feel bad for someone and do it at a distance. A ministry of compassion is something that Jesus calls us to, right? Because Jesus calls us, that's part of the whole way, the truth, and the life thing. That's the way we get in there and we dig. And we do that work. So as we hear these words, remember that these are words of affirmation for creation. That we are shown a way to the source, a way to the life force, by who Jesus is and how Jesus chooses to live out that calling. Next week, we'll move into I Am the Resurrection, which takes this to a whole new level. And so there's much more to discuss there, but know, as we hear this morning, we are shown the way and are called to take part in that way and see how beautiful that is. Friends, thanks be to the triune God. Amen.